I made this observation before, but I want to make it now. I know it's real pertinent. You don't realize how much you depend on electricity until you don't have any. You have all kinds of devices and computers and appliances, but nothing works without electricity. Well, that reminds me of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. In fact, we have a song that one of the verses says, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." That's true this morning. Hope you'll be in prayer. I love to preach, but I'm also scared to preach. And the reason I'm scared is I just hope God will bless with liberty, because I can't do much without any liberty. In fact, I got a friend in Michigan, an old man over 90 years old. He's a great scholar. He knows a lot of different languages. I met him years ago, brother Professor Herman Hanko from the Protestant Reformed Church. And we went to visit him when Hannah was a little girl, about 5 years old, to learn how to start a Christian school. And old Hankel, he said, "You know what? I never get in the pulpit, but my knees are shaking." And that's amazing. That old guy was really a scholar. I feel the same way. I feel really good about this subject this morning. I believe God placed it on my heart. And so I want to talk to you the absolute necessity of being much in the Word of God. I'm going to repeat that. The absolute necessity of being much in the Word of God. I've got some good news for you. If you're born again, the same truth that's in this Bible is in your heart. You need to know that. You know, a lot of times I have doubts just like you do. I don't have much doubt, thank God, most of the time. But even not long ago, I was in bed thinking about, you know, is the resurrection really true? We just gave up Sue Rose and Edwin Carter. And I didn't really have a bad doubt about that, but I've never had seen anybody raised from the dead. You haven't either. Is all this stuff really true about heaven and all that? But you know, the minute I got my mind back in the Word of God, I was okay. There's a reason for that. That word's in my heart. I know the resurrection is true. I know that God can raise the dead. I know that heaven is true and all that. I don't doubt it. I know it. But if I'm on my own and I'm not in God's word, I may have some doubts. Now, let me read you a scripture. This is a powerful scripture. You need to get this and realize this. It's over Hebrews 8, verses 10 and 11. I'm going to make a statement again. When you are born again, if you are born again, God wrote the truth of the Bible in your hearts. That's why when you hear a sermon or read the Bible, there's something in you that says amen to that. You know it's true. Wouldn't it be terrible if I was preaching to a bunch of unregenerate people? It'd be foolish to them, because they don't have the faculty of faith. You've been born again, you've got the faculty of faith. Now let me read you this great scripture. In fact, I better not get on that. I'm going to start to go down a side trail. If I do, I won't get on my main subject. Well, I will get on a side trail for a minute. There's an old man named C.E. Smith, a great, great man of God. Great man of God. Most amazing preacher I've ever met, probably. He's been dead a long time now. And one time, my sisters and I drove to Union City to a meeting. And we got there early, and this old man looked kind of like a tramp, was sitting on the front porch. And we got there, he just kind of started just talking to us. And he just jumped up and started preaching to us. And he said, "Kids," he said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "I preached an Arminian doctrine of free will for 40 years. He said, "One day I studied the Bible. I go over in Hebrews chapter 8, and God said that I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people." And he changed and gave up a bright career among some denominations, became an old despised primitive Baptist. And reading this week an account of his life by Lynn Bruce, because he used to come to their house. When she was a little girl, she remembered him. But old Smith could really preach. I'd like to talk to you about him sometime. He's an amazing man. But this is the text that got him. This is the text that got him to be a sovereign grace believer. "This is the covenant," this is our Savior talking, "I'll make with the house of Israel," and he's talking about spiritual Israel here. I don't want to get into proving that. So you belong here. It's not just talking about natural Israel. It's spiritual Israel, which is all God's children. "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts." If you're born again, there's laws in your mind and in your heart. Sometimes it may seem like it's not there, but it'll come out again. Life and immortality are brought to light through the gospel. There have been times I get so cold, but my friend, I go to hear a good sermon, or even read the Bible, or just the Holy Spirit blesses me with the scripture, and I'm alive again. And that's true also in your life. It may get dim sometimes, but it's there and it'll come out again. I want to encourage you. I put my law in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his brother, his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. All shall know me, from the least unto the greatest. So it's in your heart. So when you're in the written word of God, you receive a lot of assurance and help in your lives. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures who helped me. And I could preach a whole sermon on this, but I won't do it. I'm going to give you two scriptures. I've had a lot of experience in my own life about this, and you have also. I told you one time about being in India, and I was riding with Brother Gunn in a Jeep. And suddenly the devil, listen, we're in spiritual warfare, folks. You are in spiritual warfare. I'm in spiritual warfare. And the word of God is the most powerful weapon we've got. Anyway, I'm riding in this Jeep with Brother Gunn, and suddenly I saw my sins in a horrible way. It was almost like a physical weight. I didn't say anything to anybody. Brother Gunn didn't even know this was going on. But I just felt like a physical weight. And I thought, I can't even talk. I can't preach at all. I guess I had to go back home. And suddenly the Holy Spirit brought scripture to my mind. Because it's in my heart anyway. It's over in Psalm, I'm going to read it to you from Psalm 1. Now, I didn't know where it was. I just knew this came to me. This is Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's all I needed. I got instant relief. I was ready to preach. Because God does not mark iniquities, his children, because Christ paid for them. Isn't that amazing? I hadn't thought about this scripture in probably months, maybe years. But God brought it to my mind, and God will also bring scripture to your mind when you need them. Now, here's a great, great verse I'm going to give you along this line. Now, what am I talking about this morning? The absolute necessity of being much in the Word of God. I hope some people's lives are helped today. You may have been in God's Word. I want you to be even more in God's Word than you have been. And before I read this other scripture, let me tell you about this week. I've kind of had a hard time in a way for the last month or two. It's amazing to me. When I first get up, I feel a sense of foreboding. I don't know what it is. I know it's a spiritual struggle. I see my sins. I worry about the future. And I'm just in a mess for just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. It's happened every day. Then when I get in God's Word, it's okay again. Now let me tell you what I've done this week. I'm not bragging. I'm just stating facts. I'm telling you, I try to practice what I preach. I had to do a lot of busy work this week. And so I couldn't study like I wanted to. So what I started doing was, I was doing my task that did not require me to pay a whole lot of mental attention, just stuff that had to be done. I said, Lord, I'm going to do some memorizing while I'm doing that. So you know what I did? I had a half an hour in Psalm 1. I'm just like going to the store, riding in the car, a half an hour in Psalm 1, a half hour in Psalm 23, a half hour in Psalm 51, a half an hour in Psalm 100, 103, 121, 126, 127, 128. When I ran out of that, I got 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then got to Isaiah 53. And I tell you, it put iron in my blood. Now, I'm not saying you can do that all the time, but you can do some of that. You need to have scriptures available, my friend, and when you're put them in your mind. And so I felt really great after I got to doing all that. I'm telling you, my sermon is the absolute necessity of being much in the Word of God. You've got to discipline yourself to do that. You'll have all kinds of distractions. All kinds of things will try to compete for your time and attention. We got all kinds of entertainment today that we deal with. But I'm telling you, you need to make a mental effort and make it easy for you to be in the Word of God. It's absolute necessity of being much in the Word of God. Now, here's a scripture I'm going to give you. It's been one of my favorites. It's going to encourage you. I hope it will. Psalm 119 and verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened there means revived. Isn't that a good scripture? This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath revived me. My friend, his word will revive you also. We get to be much in the word of God. We're in a real spiritual battle, a real spiritual battle. Now, the way that goes is the Holy Spirit is the one who brings this to your mind. The more you got in your mind, the more the Holy Spirit got to work with. Let me go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. Okay, let's read this. Romans, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now look at verse 16. The Spirit breath witness, our spirit, we are the children of God. And he used the word to do that. We got church members going through a lot. Central Standard going through a lot. The devil's been working her over. You can imagine that, having a son that may have some serious disease. He's been working, but she's been fighting him and overcoming. Brother Reggie Rhodes, who lost his wife not long ago, had been telling me, Brother Zach, I'm going through some terrible times. The devil's jumping all over me. He's telling me I'm not even a child of God. He may be working on you that way. We are in a real spiritual battle. We've got to be much of the Word of God to overcome. We can't overcome. You probably had some struggles also. All right. What's our spiritual weapon? Now, we know there's lots of spiritual weapons. Get over there to Ephesians chapter 6. But here's the one I'm going to talk about today. Ephesians 6:17. You know this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Savior set the example for us. He had a fight with Satan in Matthew 4. And he used the Word of God. He set the example for us. Those temptations, he'd taken into the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil was jumping all over him. And Jesus Christ set the example. He quoted the Bible to the devil 3 times and ran him off. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the devil also quoted the Scripture, so you got to know your Bible pretty well. But the Lord came back with one that countered the devil's Scripture, kind of like a sword fight. Sometimes we got to have a sword fight with the devil. We better know our Bible pretty well. We'll not do very well. So get in the Word of God, my friend. Listen carefully to the preaching. Read the Bible at home. Study. Be much in the Word of God. Much in the Word of God. The devil may be strong, but he's not strong enough to overcome the weapons that God gives us. We need to have confidence in our weapons. Look over in 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'm going to give you 2 scriptures here. Now, if you look at the word, you know, let me just tell you this also. There's a lot going on. Brother Jarrett, you prayed a great prayer. I love those honest prayers like that. God heard that honest prayer. We are going through some hard times. They'll probably get worse. We could go crazy if we listen to the news all the time. Our country is really in bad shape, both internally and externally. Our foreign policy is in shambles. Our domestic policy is frightening. That's how bad it is. But I don't think about that a whole lot. I'm not putting my head in the sand. I still listen to one guy, Al Mohler. I listen to him on the briefing. That's all I listen to anymore. I want to know generally what's going on, but I don't want to know in detail what's going on, because I'm going to spend my time in prayer and try to live for God Almighty. That's the best thing I can possibly do. But if you look at what's going on around about you all the time, it's not the way to walk. That's walking by sight. And it said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. I want to preach a sermon sometime about walking by faith, but let me tell you in about a sentence what it really is. Walking by faith simply means you believe and obey the Word of God. That's really what that's talking about. You've got a sixth sense if you're born again. Unregenerates don't have faith. They got the 5 senses, but they don't have faith. They cannot look into the spiritual world, really. You can and must look into the spiritual world. Isn't that great? So listen, you don't walk by sight what you're looking at. You walk by faith. That means you walk by the Word of God. I read a great psalm this morning, Psalm 5. God hates the workers of iniquity. He's going to deal with them sometime. I don't have to be out of shape about it. We got a lot of injustice going on, ungodliness. And that could drive me crazy, but it should not drive me crazy. God's going to deal with that in his own time. I can trust God to deal with that in his own time. I ain't got to worry about that. Now, how powerful are our weapons? Is it really strong? The Bible? Are you really telling the truth, Brother Zach? The absolute necessity of being much in the Word of God, is that really right? Will it really work when he helped me out? Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I love this verse. I love all these verses. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you have a stronghold in your life? Some kind of lust you have? Some kind of temptation? Some kind of fear? What do you have, my friend? It's a stronghold. The Word of God will pull it down if you'll use it like you ought to. The power of the Holy Ghost. Let me read that verse again. You need to believe that verse. Your life can be transformed. Your life can be changed. You can overcome, my friend. You can overcome grief. Sister Sanders is an overcomer. I don't know. Hope it don't bug you, Sanders. She's my old buddy. She's had a hard life. I said, we know what she's gone through. It's almost like a modern-day Job. She goes down sometimes, but she bounces back up, my friend, because the weapons of her warfare are mighty through God for putting down of strongholds. I don't care what kind of stronghold you've got. A lingering disease, weakness, financial collapse, whatever it may be, the Word of God is strong to pulling down of strongholds. All right, now let's get to this. How important is the Word of God to you? Let's look at some scriptures. How important. I hope I step on some toes. But not to cut off or hurt you. I don't wake you up. That kind of wake you up if you get stepped on your toes, doesn't it? How much have you been in God's Word this week? How much do you plan to be in the coming week? I hope more after I read this to you. I'm going to give some scriptures in rapid order. Try not to talk too fast. Look at Psalm 1. You know it by memory. You ought to. If you don't know Psalm 1, get in there and learn it. Look at this man here, and the woman. It's a child of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. He's not messing with this whole world. His delight is the law of the Lord. That's the Bible. Do you like the Bible? You dread getting into it? The devil would like to make you dread getting into it. I'll admit sometimes I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible sometimes. I got to make myself read the Bible. Sometimes that's all I'd rather read anything else. Most of the time it's that way. The devil does everything he can to keep me away from the Word of God. Sometimes just break the ice, start reading it, and you'll be glad you did. His delight is the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. And look at what, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Be that individual whose delight is the law of the Lord, you're meditating therein day and night. Isn't that great? Work on Psalm 51 this week. Psalm 1. If you hadn't got time to do much more, just get in Psalm 1. Get in Psalm 1. All right, let's look at some more scriptures about how much does the Word of God mean to you. Job chapter 23, one of my favorite scriptures. Job chapter 23. Job was having a hard time. He's had a terribly hard time. He said this in 23:12. Now, you've never suffered like Job. None of us have. God let him be an example of what a child of God can go through and still be faithful. Job had down times. He was not perfect. God had to rebuke him. But my friend, he never cursed God. He did curse the day of his birth. We may also. I hope I don't ever get to that point. If I got to hurting bad enough, I might curse the day of my birth. I hope not. Jeremiah did too. But he never cursed God. The devil, my friend, thought he had Job on the ropes, but it didn't work. Because stronger was he that's in Job than he that's in the world. And Job had faith, and faith is the victory that overcomes this world. But here's what Job said in Psalm 23, verse 12. Going through all this terrible time he's going through. And he couldn't even feel God's spirit. Now, I'm not going to read that to you in Job 23. I don't have time. You look over at 23, start about verse 10. I'm going to tell you something in verse 12. The outward circumstances were terrible. His body was all messed up with pain and just looked so ugly. His friends even were amazed when they saw him. He's so disfigured. He's hurting really badly. All these boils all over him. He lost all of his children. Sister Sanders lost 3. Job lost 10. His wife turned against him. People made fun of him and lied about him. His miserable comforters were, and they were that miserable comforters. And then he started trying to find God. He tried to find God in every direction. He couldn't find him. But that, my friend, you can't walk by feelings. You got to walk by faith. Here's what he said in 23:12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth as more than my necessary food. How about that? Are you that way about the Word of God? I'm kind of a glutton by nature. I hate to admit it. My wife knows that. I'm a glutton by nature. I got to re-watch it. If I gave way to what I really like to do, I'd probably weigh about 300 pounds. But my friend Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth as more than my necessary food. We can and we must do that also. All right, I'm just going to use, I hope you write some of these down. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let me give you my title again, The Absolute Necessity of Being Much in the Word of God. That's my title. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of God dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let's go over that first part again. Let the Word of God dwell in you, richly in all wisdom. Isn't that great? Man, the Holy Ghost can write a book, can't he? Isn't that a great verse? You can chew on that thing, get just like chewing a steak or something, isn't it? Spiritual steak. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom. Oh, I love that verse. All right? How about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2? 1 Peter 2. Here's our picture the Lord gives us. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We know how babies are about milk. They look crazy about that milk. They'll cry if they don't get fed. My friend, they can just, it's amazing what your baby feeds. He said that's how we should be. Are you that way? If we're not, God, please give me an appetite for thy word. I believe if we walk towards God and begin to read God's word, he'll give us that appetite. He may not do it instantly. Just keep at it. The worst thing God could do to me is take the appetite away from the word of God. I had a friend one time, a preacher, who got out of fellowship with God. And so you know what his prayer was? God, please, please don't take away my desire to serve you. That'd be the horriblest thing that could happen to you. You ought to want to serve God with all your might. That'd be the worst thing God could do to us. Leave us indifferent to his service, to his word, to being around his children, to be in the service of God Almighty, to read the Bible. That'd be a horrible existence. And God can do that. Hope he won't do that. David prayed that over in Psalm 51. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. That ought to be our prayer also. That newborn babes desire the sincerity of the word. All right. 2 Timothy 4:17. Let's talk about that a minute. The Apostle Paul is in prison. He was in prison at least two times. This is his last imprisonment, the Mamertine prison, the terrible prison from which he didn't get out this time. He died a martyr's death. It's a terrible prison. He knows he's fixing to die. He said that. I know that the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. He knew he's fixing to die. But look what he said in 2 Timothy 4:17, 4:13. As he's writing Timothy, he said, Timothy, bring me the books, especially the parchments. The parchments had to be the word of God. Isn't that amazing? I hope that's what would happen to you, my friend, when you come to the end of your life. That I want the word of God. I want to study until I die. It ought to be a lot of fun, shouldn't it? We're fixing to experience what we've been reading about. We love that song, Hold Thou Thy Word. Thy word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and pull me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks. Earth's vain shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me. I hope God will let me have his word before my eyes when I'm on my deathbed. One time we had an old man who came through here, old brother V.J. Lawrence, Terry Machiavello's granddaddy. The old man was a scriptorian, kind of like C.E. Smith. He's a genius. He had a photographic memory. Quoted almost the whole Bible. He was amazing. So in our school, Grace Christian School, we memorized more than we do now. I'm got loose, y'all. We're going to step it up a little bit. I made y'all a card this week for Ephesians 6. You'll memorize the whole chapter. We used to memorize whole books. So one day, old brother Lawrence came to visit us. I got him to give a devotional to the school kids. I said, Brother Lawrence, I want you to hear something. Those kids began to quote Ephesians. And that old man began to weep. He began to weep. He loved the word of God. He said, kids, I want to tell you something. I had open heart surgery not too long ago. He said, I'm telling you, they put me on that stretcher to take me back to open my heart up. He said, I was not thinking about my money I had in the bank. I'm not thinking about my insurance policy. I'm not thinking about world politics. I was thinking about the word of God that he had blessed me to store in my heart that sustained me. And that's the truth of you also. This world passing away, the word of God not passing away. It's great, isn't it? It's better, I'm telling you, really, I guess. I mean, I don't know how to tell you better. It's wonderful. The word of God, the inspired word of God. That he loved us so much, he gave us his word.
He breathed his word to us, he said in Timothy chapter 3. Holy men of God spake at the removal of the Holy Ghost, said in Peter. And he preserved it down to our time. And had it translated into our language even. Do we value it like we do? Do we value it like we ought to? How much time do we spend in it? Quality time. All right, let's look at Psalm 19. Look at Psalm 19. We'll read a little bit of that. Psalm 19, let's start in verse 7. I think this is such a good... Old Herman Spicer called me today. He'd been reading a book. Sister W.J. Berry, a lady we knew, and old brother W.J. Berry, a great preacher. And Herman was reading a biography she had written of her husband called An Inkhorn by His Side. That came out of Ezekiel. I got it. He said, you know, he read that when Brother Berry's eyes got kind of bad, he had diabetes, the brother Jim Hamrick, a man we know from Texas, gave him a whole set of tapes on the Bible. Now, this is a debate. I've never done this. Jenny and I read the Bible together. But they said that that old man, Sister Babel Berry and old W.J., listened to the whole Bible in a week. They must have been all day long. I'm not telling you all to do that, but we can do something, can't we? Look at Psalm 19. All right. We'll start at verse 7. Now, he's going to use six expressions, and every one of them, he's talking about the Word of God in a different way. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This will be a good sermon. I think you need to get on this now. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now I'm going to keep reading. More, the word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Man. You like money? This is more valuable than money. More to be desired than gold. They have much fine gold. Sweeter also the honey and the honeycomb. Now what's the value of them? Well, moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. We learn how to live and avoid things that are not right. It warns us. And there's great reward in keeping God's word. Then he'll give us some example of that. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That's not something you're sweeping under the rug. You're not even aware it's a sin. Because we are so sinful. There's some things we do, we don't even know it's sinful. He said, God, open my eyes up as I read your word to some things I need to repent of. But also, you know this. You know sometimes you're a rebel. Sometimes you're a rebel. Which is subdue our sinful nature. So he said, keep back the servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then that last verse, I just got to read that. Let the word of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All right, so what I'm trying to do is to ask you how valuable the word of God is to you. All right, now, I want you to memorize this. This is logical, so it'll be easy. It's logical. What should we do with the word of God? You ready? I got six things. It'll all be easy. Number one, read the word of God. Number one, read it. Till I come, give attention to reading. Take your attention to the doctrine, Timothy, Paul told him. Number two, study. Are you studying? Preachers aren't the only ones who ought to study. The sisters ought to study and the brethren ought to study. We ought to be studying in our homes. We need to be studying with our children. We need to learn how to study. I think I'll help you do it and I'll help you too. A lot of you already know how to do it, so... There's all kind of helps today. We got helps on the internet, Bible Hub, you name it. You can look up Greek words and Hebrew words. You have Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias, atlases. What an array of stuff we got today. Maps. If you want to really enjoy the book of Acts, read it with the maps. That's, you get a lot out of that. You look at Paul's journeys on a map as you study. It's exciting. It'd be a good family project. So number one, read. Number two, study. Number three, memorize. You know, I always emphasize that. You can memorize some. You ought to memorize some. It's not only good for you spiritually, it's good for you mentally. It's a good mental exercise. My friend, back a long time ago in our country, when they had these old one-room schoolhouses, a lot of memorizing went on. They didn't only memorize the Bible. They even have what they call history bees. Not only a spelling bee, history bee. Most of the kids don't know anything about history today. They had American history and the world history memorized. Dates. It's good for, we can do more than we think we can. We only use part of our minds. We need, my friend, to serve God with all of our mind. So, read, number one. Study, memorize. Do it bite-sized. Don't bite off something you can't chew and get discouraged. Just do a small project. You'll probably get so enthused, you'll want to even do more. And you do it while you're young. I've memorized a lot of scriptures when I was young, and I can easily get them back. I've got a program that I always go every month trying to get some of them back, and I can get it easily. Now, but the last few scriptures I memorized, I've got to be an old fella. I've got to do it every month. I have to spend time in Colossians every month. I have to spend time in 2 Peter every month and John 17 every month. I don't have them like I did, those other scriptures. So memorize. You can do it if you set goals to do it. And you carry the Bible around with you when you do that. I had a great experience about that one time. I was supposed to go to Carbondale, Texas, where Jesse and Mom and Daddy live up there, to hold a meeting. And I've been so busy, I didn't have time to study much. So when Anton Scalia, the great Supreme Court justice who died, the good conservative, was speaking over at Rhodes College. And so Seth wanted to go hear him, so Seth and I went. We couldn't get in the auditorium, so we got in the what they call the Tiger Den or something like that, some kind of a den, Lincoln's den, I think, over there. Just surrounded by people. Had to wait there about an hour or so before we could hear him speak on the mic. You know what I did? I studied Colossians chapter 3. I preached on it down there. Rich, you may remember that. How did I study it? I didn't have a Bible. It is right in here. Man, I had more fun than barrel monkeys. I memorized it. I went through it again. I made points. God, the Holy Ghost helped me. You carry the Bible with you, my friend. You get stuck somewhere, you can study the Word of God and have a good time doing it. Now, after you do that, what's number four? Meditate. Think. Meditate. That's what old brother C.E. Smith used to do. Lynn Bruce was telling us when he came to see them, he did a lot of walking. What he would do, he'd walk 10 miles a day and he'd be talking to himself while he was doing that, thinking through scriptures. One time he came to Whitehaven Church to preach and he remembered he was supposed to be in Texas preaching. So Brother A.B. Huckabee of Dickens had a brand new car, so I'll take you out there and bring you back. So he did. Well, when he got back, he preached on consider the lilies, how they grow. It was a great sermon. Brother Huckabee said, you know where the sermon came from? I said, where? We're driving down the road, and on the highway, and there's a lily pot over there. Old Brother Smith looked at that and said, hum, consider the lilies. He started talking to himself all the way back. He had a great sermon up. Old Brother O. Strickland, over at where Dan Beecham is the pastor, at Graham, Texas. The old Brother Archie Medlin, who gave the ground back a long time ago, Alabama cotton farmer back in the 1800s. He donated a farm that belonged to the pastor as long as he had pastor there. And what Brother Strickland would do, he would have to plow behind a mule. So what he'd do, he'd read his Bible in the morning. Then he'd plow that mule all day, and the old mule knew where he was going. He didn't even need Brother Strickland hardly. And so he said he'd be talking to himself all day long. Sometimes come to the house, wouldn't even hardly look at his wife, because he's deep in thought, look at the Bible, nod his head, start mumbling, and go again. We need more deep thought like that, folks. The Bible is filled with gold nuggets. Oh, you get a hold of a doctrine of redemption, propitiation, regeneration, justification. It's like eating spiritual steaks. I tell you, most Christianity, no, y'all are above average probably. I'll just go give you a point, probably are most Christians. I'm telling you, we live in an age of superficial Christianity. That Bible of gold mine, if you'll meditate. And the Old Testament word translated meditate, one of them is this. When I first saw it, I just said, what in the world? It means to murmur. So what do you mean murmur? Well, here's what it was after I got studied it out. Have you ever been in deep thought? Or maybe somebody in your house and you're kind of talking to himself. Maybe Sophie may be studying for a nursing test or something. and just kind of just talking to yourself, kind of murmuring. That's what that's about. Mutter is somebody who's such a deep thought, they're hardly aware anybody's around, they're kind of talking to themselves. My friend, we need to learn how to meditate. So let me give those. Read, study, memorize, meditate. Uh-oh, we're not through yet. Obey! Obey! Uh-oh, no matter how much we know here, it's not in our lives, there's something missing. I feel like a lot of Christians get that point. Oh, I've done my duty, I've studied the Bible, I know it. Uh-oh, you get to live it. You got to live it! Read, study, memorize, meditate, obey, and then grow. You will grow if you do all that. That's sixth thing right there. You ought to be able to think through those. Not even, you don't have to work too hard because it's logical, isn't it? Read, study, memorize, meditate, obey, and grow. It's easy. Now, I'm almost through. I want to read you something that John Newton said. John Newton had a whole series of sermons on Handel's Messiah. And Reggie Rose put them on my sword searcher. Let me tell you how precious the Word of God was to old John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. A single clause, when viewed, if I may so speak, in the microscope of close meditation. I'll read that sentence again. A single clause, when viewed in the microscope of close meditation, is often found to contain a fullness, a world of wonder. Ah. So that in many parts of the scriptures, whatever is immediately necessary to confirm our faith, to animate or regulate our practice, is condensed to a small compass and comprised in a few verses. Yea, sometimes a single sentence, when unfolded and examined, will be found to contain all the great principles of duty and comfort. Isn't that glorious? My friend, that Bible, some book, is the most unique book ever written because God wrote that book, even though He used men to do it. And I hope all of you will eventually experience things like that. Tony Machiavelli, my father-in-law, used to call them golden nuggets. Like I found another golden nugget. That's a thought I want to share with you. Holy Spirit has made precious to me. I heard Thomas Mann this morning on the radio. Speaking of the Word of God, he's so poetic. He might have borrowed somebody else, but whoever wrote this is a poet. An ocean of meaning compressed into droplets of speech. An ocean of meaning compressed into droplets of speech. The Bible is a miraculous book. A miraculous book. Wow. Good enough to live by, good enough to die by. Well, I got two prayers for you. I got a prayer and an encouragement as I close. As we read the Bible, here's how we ought to read it. Psalm 119, verse 18. Remember this. This is what we ought to do as we read the Word of God. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's full of wondrous things. And we ought to ask Jesus to do for us what He did for the men on the road to Emmaus and then for His disciples. The men on the road to Emmaus, as you might remember, had their eyes holding, then recognized the Savior who had risen from the dead. They're walking along, and He approached them, and they began to talk. And then they invited Him to their house for supper. And then they finally recognized who it was, and then He disappeared from their sight. Now, He was talking to them. What a conversation that must have been. But, you know, we can have a conversation with Him, too, today through the Bible. What that must have been like. Can you imagine what that must have been like? He goes through the Old Testament. He explained to them scriptures concerning Himself. He probably went over Isaiah 53 with them. Isaiah 40, He probably did that. Genesis 3:15, He went to see the woman. He talked to them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And hear what they said when He had gone. Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the scriptures? My friend, may God give us spiritual heartburn. That must have been something. We knew something was going on. We felt something in our soul. We didn't know who this was, really. And he began to explain the scriptures to us. Well, then he came on down to where all the disciples were. And here's what it said in Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I said, Lord, please, God, open my understanding, my understanding the scriptures. My friend, my title today was, and I mean it with forcefulness, and I want to make it you to do it, me to do it. The absolute necessity of spending much time in the Word of God. Come on, Isaac.
Yesterday, February the 5th, yesterday marked 47 years that Brother Zach has served as the pastor of Grace Chapel. And if there is one message that has characterized that 47 years of ministry, you just heard it. And you would affirm that. That is the consistent message that he has labored with us over this last 47 years. And so my confidence is that the spiritual warfare, spiritual battle that we face on a daily basis that he described early in the messages this morning is 100% there. You're experiencing it every day. What I'm less confident in, and what I fear a bit, is that we fully believe and embrace the title of that message. He described Antonin Scalia speaking at Rhodes College. I would have loved to have been there. What a brilliant mind. What a weighty person. Imagine that you were not sitting in the ancillary room, but that you had somehow gotten seats right on the stage, and in fact you were able to interact before the message, before his speech, and that you were able to converse with him and talk with him, and the whole while he was talking to you, you're on your phone playing a video game. What a waste, right? What a waste. How disrespectful. How completely clueless one would be of the man and the mind that they had an opportunity to learn from. I doubt you would do that. I doubt I would do that. But Antonin Scalia he's as grass. He faded away. Yet the word of the Lord endures forever. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His word is life. His word is light. His word is truth. His word assures. His word enlightens. His word exposes. His word does so much and more. And I know that on the judgment day, this will be the one big area of judgment. I revealed myself, and you esteem my word as nothing. And so I'm praying that God would give me, would give all of us, just an understanding of what we have and that God has revealed himself to us through his word. And so let me just make sure we understand, because I think this is a tendency among us. It's good. We have so much many good resources, but note that he did not say the title was not the absolute necessity of good podcasts, good books, or good sermons. And I'm not saying anything bad about those. They're good. But don't let anything rival the word. Okay? Or replace the word. It is your interaction with God Himself in His Word in which you will receive the living bread of life ministered to you. And so I think the very last part of the sermon was very, very important for all of us. That prayer, Lord, give me insight. Help me to understand, not just the words, but help me understand the weight of what I'm doing when I'm reading the word, that I might not just run through it. I might stop and rest and listen and meditate. I don't know that we all need to be walking around with our heads down, mumbling to ourselves, but we need to be understanding what we're reading. And the other part is, I would just say, is just do something. Do something. I would really, really, really encourage, just do a little bit of memory work. He used to say that all the time, 5 minutes a day. If you will dedicate five minutes a day to hiding God's word in your heart, I really do believe, and don't pick 1 Chronicles 1, pick something else to memorize. But if you'll just spend 5 minutes a day taking God's word into your heart, I guarantee you it will excite you beyond belief as you're chewing over those words and growing in that.